Welcome to the Inside Out Show. I'm Devin Almonte, and together we are learning to see the world through God's eyes and doing our best to live that out in our everyday. And every Thursday here on the Inside Out podcast, we are taking a look at the stories that are shaping our world, the funny, the feel-good, the frustrating, and the faith-enhancing. It's a bit of faith, culture, real life, all delivered with warmth, clarity, and a bit of humor. This is Inside Out Thursday edition. Welcome. Why does it feel so hard to know what to do with negative people in our lives? These are the people that drain the life out of us. They suck the energy out of the room. They really bring us down. And that's not a good thing. I can understand we just want to get this person out of our lives. However, is it actually that person or is there something else going on here? That is our anchor point today. We're talking about what God actually means by wisdom and discernment here when it comes to our relationships. Because the culture is so quick to say, oh, just cut that person out of your life. You're going to be better for it. You're going to be happier. You're going to have a lot more peace. And I'm not convinced that this is actually playing out the way we think it is. I don't think it's for our good. We'll talk about that. And then in our news story, we're going to talk about all the information that's coming at us constantly telling us what's wrong with us and that we need to fix it. So we got our watch telling us we're not getting our steps in. We've got it telling us we're not getting enough sleep. We're not moving enough. We're not aging correctly. Yet, don't forget, somehow we're still here. We're still living and we're still loved. Then in our main story today, we're going to look at yet another shift that's happening around us. In the world, we are just spending so much time and energy now just trying to protect ourselves, not necessarily from all the stuff happening outside, but from companies and systems and things that are showing up in our lives that we never even asked for. So there is a pattern to this. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Lots to explore. So glad that you're here. Here on the Inside Out podcast, we like to look at ways that we can work towards being a little bit better with the things that life can throw our way. And negative people is one of them. And I think it was Albert Einstein that said, stay away from negative people. They have a problem for every solution. You're going, I know exactly who that person is in my life. And so if you do have that negative person in your life, you know what this feels like. It's draining, it's tiring and exhausting. It can bring you down. It's kind of like that, like if you have a cloudy day and you never get the full sun and you still have to go about and do your stuff, you just wish it was a little bit brighter. That's what a negative person can feel like to me. And so I know I can't just get rid of all these people around me. I don't think that's really the solution. So I ask God just clarity on what to do. But I also think we need to understand what negative people really are, because God's definition of that, I think, is different from the world's, because the world is very quick to say that anybody is negative that doesn't agree with you. They're negative if they say something unkind to you. They are, if they have a different opinion than you, they're a negative person. And why would you want that in your life? Just cut them off. And so I don't think that's a good approach. And many people have taken this approach. And I've noticed that they're still not really happy or at peace. In fact, aren't they going to be lonely because they're going to find fault with everybody? They're going to have no one. And so this is the so-called happy person who has removed every single person from their life. And they're going to be the unhappiest and probably the most negative person around. So what is our solution? I would say we got to go back to God's wisdom and grace. All right, let's see if this sounds familiar to you. My watch buzzes and it will tell me that I need to move more. It'll also tell me that I failed at my steps. And I also wake up and it tells me first thing in the morning that I didn't sleep well enough or long enough or deep enough. And then just for fun, as I'm sitting down for breakfast, I'm looking at articles and I see something telling me that my heart is probably older than I am. Literally, the CDC found that nearly half of US adults have a heart that is biologically older than their actual age. All right. And if that's not enough, a brain scan study also says that many of us have aging brains that don't match our birth year either. Well, fantastic. This is the world we live in. And I do know what is going on here. And I hope you are ready for this. The articles and tech devices are right. Everything is wrong with us. Nothing is quite right. But you know what I say to all that though? I'm okay and I'm good and I don't need them to fix me, because here's what the articles and apps and trackers and powders and all the miracle products don't factor in, that no matter what I eat and how much I sleep and the kind of water I drink or how many steps I log in, I am headed to eternity. And this body, our bodies are not meant to be the final version. This is temporary. It's a little creaky right now and occasionally confused, but it is still deeply loved. And sure, let's take care of ourselves and our bodies. We be wise where we can, but don't panic every time something turns the corner and tells you that you're wrong and you're doing it wrong and you need to fix it now. You are a fallen human being, and that's okay because we have a God who is our savior and we have an eternity with him. I'm paying somewhere around $50 a month just to be left alone, okay? Not from the world, but from companies and services, from being tracked from our email accounts filled with all these things that I never asked for, content that is constantly pushed at us, really without our consent. And so I think something is off here because our basic protections, I would consider these like universal protections, our privacy, our time, what is in my home and what's coming at our kids. I think that should be there. That should be the norm. That should be expected, part of the deal. At least I thought it was, but we have kind of shifted from that. And we've moved from consumer must opt in to consumer must opt out. So we are spending a great deal of time and energy pushing back against these systems that we never asked to be a part of. And it's exhausting. And I think there's a pattern here.
You want to earn some protection money? First, you got to find a business right for the taking. To extort the owner, you got to convince him that it's in his interest to pay us. Capiche? Each merchant folds under different kinds of pressure, and everyone has a weak spot. Some folks will listen to reason. Others, well, you're going to have to apply pressure.
We are living in what I call the protection racket economy. And of course, there's the mob style version over here. Pay us or we'll hurt you badly, right? And so this is a version of that, a little different, but I would still say it's pretty sophisticated, mostly because the services want our time and our focus and of course our money. So it reminds me of this scene from The Sopranos.
Manager Dare. We're from the North Ward Merchants Protective Cooperative.
I'm kind of busy. You guys looking for a donation?
We merchants have found you really should have some round-the-clock security here.
Isn't that what the police are for?
They do their best, but they got their hands full. Your weekly dues to us will give you all the supplemental safety net you'll ever need.
I can't authorize anything like that. It'd have to go through corporate in Seattle.
We merchants prefer to deal on a personal, one-on-one basis.
But how do you think corporate would feel if, for the sake of argument, someone threw a brick through your window?
What if, God forbid, it wasn't just vandalism? What if an employee, even the managers say, was assaulted?
It's whatever they can do to get us to sign on. And there's nothing wrong with promoting, but I think there's a fine line between promotion and then exploitation that is being normalized and billed to us. And so my hope is by the end of this episode, I don't want us to be angrier or more frustrated. There's already enough of that. But I want us to pay closer attention to what's happening, how all this works, and why I think this matters. Let me show you what I mean, because once you see this, you're going to start to notice it everywhere. And take companies like Spotify or YouTube. They've got their free tier or lesser plans. And sometimes you're going to find the ads there. They're a lot louder. They're more obnoxious. And the audio quality is actually worse. And so you get a lot of bad stuff. Tons of interruptions from the ads. The music doesn't sound so great. The podcast doesn't sound so great. And so that's not accidental. That is by design because they get paid by the advertisers, why we tolerate it all. And then they also get paid by us when we're like, I've had enough of this, upgrade me so I don't have to listen to this stuff. So the pitch for the advertisers, pay us for access to get access our users. And then the users pay us to make the advertisers go away. So they like double dip. They get to the best of both worlds. And so you sign on to the higher plan because you don't want to be miserable on this free tier plan that's not working out so well. But when we upgrade, are we really paying for something premium? I mean, you might be in some ways. But you are also simply paying your way out of a deliberately bad and degraded experience. So we are paying them to stop what they are doing to us. And it is a giant win for these companies.
You make extortion sound like progress.
Now, I like Spotify and YouTube. I'm not singling them out here. Most companies in this space, they're doing some version of the same thing. And technically, of course, they're allowed to. We see it everywhere. Podcasts, news, streaming, you get access to this, but not that. Everything's a tier. And if you want more, you got to pay more. And totally get that. And I agree with that because especially as somebody that does put content out, much of it for free, I understand that creators and companies need, they should be paid for what they're creating and making. And it's kind of crazy to think about that we've gotten so used to just thinking that we can listen free and we can have all these services for free, but that's really somebody's work. That's their art and hours of time spent into that. So I understand that. But the difference here that I'm trying to get to is that I just think it's like such a weird marketplace today because it's like, I don't know why I was thinking this. Like if you have somebody do your lawn care and let's say you pay $25 to have somebody mow your lawn and they mow the lawn, you look out the window and you're like, oh my gosh, that's awful. Well, yeah, that's because that's not the real lawn care. That's the free version. And the real version is the $50 version that fixes that. So you're not upgrading when you pay $50. You're not getting a better effort or better lawn care. You're just paying to undo the intentional downgrade that they gave you in the first place. And that's so annoying. And I think it's wrong. And so just tell us the real cost. If it's $50, it's $50. Don't tell us $25. And I know marketers out there, well, that's how we market it. That's how people learn about us. That's how we come on. But it's junk. And so I think we end up feeling like we've been scammed. And so it's racketeering. It is designed, it's like a little shove and a pressure point to push us to then make the upgrade. And that's the part that I don't like. So that's the shove. Make the baseline as frustrating enough that you feel like you have to move out of there. But there's also another version, and I think it's just as frustrating. This is an example of what happens when a company removes the limits on what it pushes. So it overloads us with all that content that we didn't ask for, hoping that once again, maybe they'll click, maybe they'll subscribe, maybe they'll linger. And then we end up, they shift the burden to us to manage all of this. So this is, you know, what we see on social media, in gaming, in streaming, content everywhere, enticing us in every possible way. Some of it's harmless. Some of you might like it, you know, where it's kind of like, oh, it knows what I like and it makes a recommendation on another show. I understand that. But a lot of it is not good. And a lot of it is stuff that maybe we don't actually want. And I don't like that we don't have the choice to opt out because they are pushing stuff in front of us and in front of our kids, hoping that we will be enticed and click and stick around. And if we don't want it, they say, well, that's on you to manage. It's on you to opt out, or we have to pay for an extra service to help keep this stuff out of our house and home. Like the social media and tech stuff, this is exactly what we do for our family. We use Bark. I don't know if you've heard of Bark. It's for all the parental monitoring of things that are kids are exposed to and their text messages and things online that they might come across. And it just alerts us of any kind of explicit content, that kind of thing. And so we pay for that extra, an annual membership to that. And, you know, I like Bark. I don't want Bark. I'd rather not have to have it. They're not the problem. They saw a problem and built a solution around it. But the problem is what these platforms allow and amplify through their algorithms, and it's done with intention, harmful content pushed toward our kids because it keeps them engaged, keep their eyes on it, like never get them off of these things. And so instead of building real safeguards into the systems that they're creating, they dump it on families and people to figure it out rather than fixing it at the source. And that just bothers me. It's all backwards. You know, another example, this happened a couple weeks ago. I wish I had permission to not have these porn channels in our cable guide. And before you're like, cable, who uses cable? Okay. Yes, we have cable. Actually, I didn't opt in for the cable. Surprisingly, it's just part of our HOA plan. So I didn't actually get a choice in that either, but we do use it sometimes. And my daughter was the one who told me about this because she was concerned that her brother would come across this. Just in the channel guide, as it lists out all the channels, there are the inappropriate channels that show up. And it's really frustrating because what happens is it gives you like the thumbnail, the giant thumbnail of what that episode is and a nice long detailed description of that episode. And it's disgusting. It's awful. I don't want this. And they're saying you just have to turn on the filters. I don't want to manage filters. I don't want this in my house at all. And why does that content get the benefit of showing up in my home uninvited? Why isn't my permission the default? Isn't that how it should be? And so we see that pattern everywhere. Permission to not be on 47 million email lists. I don't want that. Permission not to have our data shared with third party, trusted third party partners. And then I think we've gotten complacent with it, that just kind of like, it's just the way things are, Is it? I mean, should it be? Because, how would you feel? Okay, let's go back to our lawn mowing people that I mentioned earlier. So let's say they show up to your house now and they start cutting your lawn. They didn't ask for your permission. They just started cutting. And then now they're all finished and they're knocking on the door asking you for money. Well, you're crazy. I never gave you permission to cut my lawn. And if they responded, but we were out there. You should have stopped us. Didn't you see us cutting the grass? You didn't stop us. You didn't opt out. That would be insane. That's not how this works. And so if we call that crazy, why are these other versions of crazy tolerated? And so that's what I don't like. I don't understand. I don't know why we're tolerating it. And that's kind of how our economy is working now, with a lot of these streaming services, subscription-based services. All of it, it just has come full force into our homes. And so that's why, to me, it seems like a legalized racketeering kind of economy that we have now. And don't even get me started on trying to cancel this stuff once you're in. Here's what that looks like.
Send a link to your email? Great, you're logged in, but you can't actually cancel through the mobile app. You'll have to go to our browser. Log in on your browser. You're all logged in. Unfortunately, you subscribed through the Roku TV, so you'll have to cancel it through that. Sorry, your TV's not connected to Wi-Fi. Try again. Scan this QR code to access your phone's keyboard to make logging in faster. There are no active subscriptions on your account. Sorry, we don't recognize that password. Go to the mobile app to cancel your subscription.
They make it impossible. They hide the buttons. They ask you 20 different ways if you're really sure you want to cancel. And also, I can't prove this. There's no study that I know of. Maybe you can help me here, because I am convinced that some of these websites mysteriously slow down the moment that you need to try to return something, or you got to reach out to customer service. All of a sudden, everything's working fine when I have to buy, but anytime I need some help in another direction, that's not going to happen. So maybe that's happened to you. Maybe you have a solution for this, because it's so frustrating. And then that's exactly what they want. So it is our job, yes, to pay attention, because we are the ones signing up for this stuff. Of course it is. But I don't want to pretend that this is just some neutral design, because it's not. It is built to wear us down. And so it's like a coordinated strategy to just wear us out till we surrender. And I am not okay pretending that this is all okay. Scripture warns us too against oppression. Now, the question isn't whether companies can charge for services. Okay, that's not oppressive. But whether the design itself is respecting the dignity of the people using it, that is what I think is in question. So we have Leviticus 19:13, you shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. Okay, so I don't know. I think that's what we're seeing here. And we can just truly opt out by not participating at all, right? No streaming, just get rid of everything. But I don't think that's really realistic. I'm not anti-business. I'm not anti-free market. But what I am against is scamming. And I'm against these unethical business practices. I'm against being sold low-grade services simply to pressure me to upgrade. And I'm against being forced to opt out when opt-in should be the default here. And I think you should need my permission. I mean, how hard is that? And just be honest about what I'm buying, right? Is that too much to ask? Because when you profit from creating a problem and then you profit again from the people trying to escape it, I think that's at least one form of oppression. Can we opt in? Can that be the default, not opt out? So when you sign up for something in 5 minutes, you can cancel in 5 minutes. Or where these platforms profit from harming kids, they're held accountable rather than parents having to pay to clean up the mess that these companies are creating. So that's my hope. And I don't think we have to accept anything less. If you're not a member of my Facebook group, Insight Out Community, this is a private group, no cost for it. It's a place where we have conversations, talk about some of the things that we're talking about here. And I have two case studies, if you will, things that we can talk about that really explain this whole protection racket economy thing that's going on and what we can do to fight back. And we can read them, learn from them. That's the whole point, so that we can just be better armed for ourselves and for our families and help us navigate this crazy minefield that we're in today. So all the links will be in the show notes, again, or just go to insightoutmedia.org. And that is how we do this. We see the problem, we call it out, and then we take some healthy action. We do that together. All right, that's it. Okay, have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the Super Bowl if you plan to watch. And remember to see clearly, choose wisely, and live insight out. I'll talk to you all soon.